set the timer. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I want to thank God for this honor and privilege that I truly do not take lightly. I want to thank our pastors, Anthony and Michelle Cox, for allowing me to come before you all tonight. I truly appreciate it. This is new to me, but amen. Amen, Lord. So let's get right into what God is requiring of us and our relationship with him. So this particular passage is written, Romans chapter 13. This particular passage is written to those who are living under any government. However, during this time, living under the Roman Empire. This passage as a whole is written according to how submission and righteousness should be practiced, applied, and how we ought to serve in relation to the government. This chapter is divided into two commands, submission and love. And we'll get there. Just a little sidebar. I remember one of my first thoughts when I became a part of TPC. I was like, this church is big on submission. I was like, Jesus. I'm like, amen, amen, because that's the word. That's the word. And so I was like, this church is big on submission. But that alone, it made me examine myself. And it made me more sensitive to submission. I must say, I never really knew about submission so profoundly. I knew that it was in the word. I knew we had to, obey what the word says when it comes to submission or whatnot. And I knew that it was something essential in my relationship with God. However, let's face it, submission is not easy. It's not an easy thing to do. But it's an order that God put in place for us to obey. I'll never forget when Sister Vivian actually said to pray for an attitude of submission. Amen. Because submission should be something that you take joy in. Amen. So let's get into the word. Romans 13. I'm going to read Romans 13, 1 through 8. It reads, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also. For they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Verse 7, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law." So as I thought on this passage, on this portion of the passage, I see that we're not only to be submitted to our spiritual leaders, but to our worldly leaders. The power they hold is the power God has given. God placed higher powers, worldly leaders in high places for order, which is why Paul stated, "Whosoever resists this power resists the ordinance of God, the order of God. Whosoever whoever resists is bound to be punished or penalized. The ultimate ruler placed rulers over us to execute what's evil. We know who the ultimate ruler is. That is Jesus. As Paul states in Romans 13, verses 3-4, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same, for he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. It is no need to be afraid if we're doing that which is good, right? But if we're committing evil acts, our worldly leaders are in place to execute wrath upon us. In reference to verse 3, 1 Peter 3:13, it says, and who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? Who can harm you if you be followers of what is good? As we move along, Paul says in verse 5, wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. We can find ourselves being submitted only because we're scared of God's wrath. We are to be submitted for our conscience' sake, as of knowing in our minds what's right or wrong in God's sight. Some of us may wonder, why did God place these worldly rulers over us? And the answer that I came up with, or that came to me, was because he is just a God of order. He's a God of order. He is not the author of confusion. Chapter 14, verse 33 says, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. He is of peace. Amen. He's not the author of confusion. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. He's not the author of confusion, but of peace. He has a structure for the body of Christ, for he is the leader. He has a structure for marriage, for the husband is the leader. And he has a structure for the world. He placed a worldly leader, like our president, like the government. He placed those leaders over us. As we submit to God, we are submitting to other relationships, which include living in accordance with the government. For an example, paying high taxes. We are to pay them, even though they are tough. Even though it's tough to pay them, we are to pay those taxes. Amen? Don't say amen. Romans 13, verses 6-7 says, for this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues. Tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. In reference, we have Jesus who answered to the Herodians on how they should pay tribute. Let's go to Matthew chapter 22, verses 15 through 22. Matthew 22. So here, I'm just going to say a little something on the side. Jesus knew the distinction. When we read this, Jesus knew the distinction between political and spiritual responsibility. So let's read that. Then, verse 15, then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. Tell us therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Show me the tribute money. And they brought unto him a penny. And he saith unto them, whose is this image and superscription? They say unto him, Caesar's. Then saith he unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. Once again, Jesus knew the distinction between the political and spiritual responsibilities. They had to give what was Caesar's, because that was their ruler. So, for it is God who put them in place. It is God who puts the president, the rulers, the government rulers in place. All those that are, yes, excuse me, yes, amen. So, in Proverbs 8, verses 15 through 16, it says, by me kings reign and princes decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. It is by God these kings reign. It is by God the princes decree justice. It is by God the princes rule. It is by God the nobles and even all the judges of the earth that they rule. It is him that put it in place. Amen, amen. Submission to God is submission to his authority. Submission to his authority is submission to his will. And part of his will is to be subject to our government authorities, to give them what's due to them. Paul wraps up the first portion of this passage by saying in verse 8, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. We are to pay what is owed. I'm sorry, I lost my. We are to pay what is owed to them so we won't be indebted. I'm so sorry. Wait, I'm getting off track. Okay, so in verse 8, oh no, it says to owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. We are to pay what is owed to them, so we won't be indebted. We are to not continue in debt. We are to owe no man anything but to love, which is the first commandment of God. Verse 9 says, for this, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. All of God's commandments hang on love. It's about loving. Because if you do any one of these, you're not loving. Amen? Amen? So love won't cause you to act unseemly to your neighbor, as Paul stated in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Love does not behave, actually it says, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Amen. And that is what I have for tonight. Amen. Amen. So let's, if we can just all stand, and let's just give God some glory.